times I've gotten in trouble at this church as a young little kid. So, with the building science thing, I should have been a little more clarified. I actually kind of want to do the project management route. So we kind of go and kind of study over some buildings and just go out and kind of get a look for that. That's kind of what that little area of expertise I'm trying to study in. But anyway, I usually start out all my little small messages with a joke, but I did not do one for Sunday school. I got one for the actual sermon, so y'all just going to have to get ready and wait for that. So anyway, this morning we're going to be talking about in Sunday school. I know y'all probably do our little book and things like that, but this morning the Lord kind of spoke to my heart a little something about this. It's called Reflecting the Gospel. This morning, Reflecting the Gospel. This text this morning is going to come, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. The main idea here I want to get across is because Christ suffered and saved us, we should live every part of our lives for God's glory. Let's read the text this morning. It says in verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered us for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For ye have suffered in the flesh and have ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life or his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past our life may suffice us that we wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lavishness and lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who should give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold of the grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that in God all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want to talk about this morning five key things that I find in this little passage that Peter wrote here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. The key truth here starts off in verses 1 and 2 and says, "Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking as Christ," meaning that Jesus suffered for doing God's will and he was willing to obey him even if it cost him everything. So Peter says here, "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Every day we should have our same mindset as Jesus Christ did when he was here on the earth. We should have the same mindset of living godly every day. What that means for us is following Jesus often requires a lot of sacrifice. Our goal shifts from what do I want to what does God want. We live for the will of God and not our old desires or our own desires of self. Our application of this is we should ask God daily, "Lord, what should glorify you in this situation of life?" Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Paul calls believers to present themselves as living sacrifices and not be conformed to the world." Here we have the same mindset that Peter describes. We should conform to God's likewise mind of thinking and not our own. In Galatians 2:20, also Paul talks about this same thing. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." This shows Christ's sacrifice reshapes our entire purpose. So my first point that Peter addresses here and that I would like to address is every day the gospel should change how we think. We should change our lives to think in the way of God and Jesus Christ and not the way of our flesh and our own self-being. And we're going to move to our second point is gospel not only changes how we think every day and the way God wants us to think, but it also breaks our old patterns. Read here in verses 3 and 4, it says, Peter says, "For the time past our old life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." It says, when we first walked in lavishness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it was strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Talking about here, Peter was talking about people would live these ungodly lives, live these lavishness, lust, excess of wines, and then they would want to turn and do the right thing, go to God, but some of these other people would not want to do the same, so then they speak evil of you. This morning, I wonder if you run around with a crowd of people in your times past and you've done wrong things and you've left and become a godly person, you've been in church, and those same people speak evil of you. And they've mocked you. Maybe why in the world are you giving up a great sinful life that you can do anything you want to go to church and give up at all? Well, we do that because Jesus died and did sacrifice for us. So why can't we live a life that is godly and goodly for Him? So the gospel breaks our old pattern. It says Peter here reminds believers that we've already lived long enough chasing sin. He lists things like immorality, drunkenness, idolatry, not just actions, but a lifestyle, again, that's centered on self and not God's will. And this morning, my key point to that is when the gospel changes us, people may not understand. Some may even mock us. But we don't go back. And why do we not go back to the same lifestyle, simple lifestyle that we used to live? We don't do that because sin once ruled us, and now Christ rules us every day. We used to live our life for pleasure, but now we live for purpose. We used to reflect the world, but now we reflect the gospel. The gospel needs to reflect in you every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul again speaks on this. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a great verse that emphasizes transformation in somebody's lifestyle. It says we don't live the same way anymore. Something that I really love, if you want to take your Bibles and flip to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24, Paul speaks another thing on this that I want to take the time and read this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24, it says, Paul says here that ye put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man, the old person that was inside of you. That's what you put off, which is corrupt. He says it's corrupt according to deceitful lust. Again, what Peter was talking about, lust, corruptible, an old person. In 22, it says, in 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. When you're renewed in something, you are forever changed and nude out of that old person. Now you're becoming new. Then he closes out in verse 24 and says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. And key point here, true holiness, not false holiness. I'll get into more of that here in my actual sermon. We're going to go into false ways. But we are true holiness this morning. So again, put off the old self, put on the new self created to be like God. This pairs perfectly with what Peter calls to leave sinful lifestyles. This morning, I'd like to ask you a question. You can think about it yourself or you can ask it now. It doesn't matter. It says, can you think of a time someone didn't understand your decision to follow Christ? Maybe in your life, again, you were running the wrong crowd or doing the wrong thing and you converted. God spoke to you. Maybe God, I never had the opportunity. I know I got saved when I was 7. I was sitting right over there and walked down the aisle and confessed my faith to Jesus Christ. And I never went to a time in my life where I had to just get shaken up and tossed around by Christ to get right and do the right thing. But I pray, I know there's people out there that have and that have gone through that certain area of life where they had to get shaken up. They were running with the wrong crowd and they got, you know, shaken by God to turn to do the right thing. And I pray this morning that if you ever think of a time when you did that and you followed Christ and you left that old sinful person, you left that old sinful self and you came to God, there might be somebody who didn't understand your decision. It's because they are truly lost in the way of the world, and they're, again, doing the simple things and not follow to what Christ wants them to do. And that's why we are called to pray for those people, that they may be returned to God, just like you were. And you're sitting here today, and you're following Jesus Christ, and you're following His order. And there may be some of you in here still today that you're still kind of going with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong thing. I pray this morning that if Christ is in you, He is a new creation. If you're here serving God and Christ is in you, you are a new person. I pray you put off the old man and put on the new. So we see the Godful mindset reflects us, but it also makes us changed. That's my second point. Number three this morning is the gospel reminds us that we'll all give an account. We will all one day stand according to the Lord, and we will give an account for the things that we have done. Peter says here in verses 5 and 6, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, you can flip back there and read again with me. It says, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause the gospel was preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So he says, Peter says that everyone will stand before God, and that truth comforts believers. God sees faithfulness. It should comfort us as believers because we're going to get to stand before Almighty God. But it also warns the world because life is not without accountability. It can comfort you as long as you're living your life according to the way of God. But you know, one day, everything that you do, you're going to give an account to God. So I pray every day, live your life as something you're going to stand before facing Almighty God and give an account for what you have done. And I pray this morning that you live a life that you can stand before Him and not only just give an account of the things that you've done, but give an account for the amazing great grace that you've provided in your life. Maybe the things you've done great. You're going to give an account for everything, not just the bad, but the great things that you've done. I pray every day you live a life that you remember that. So this doesn't scare us. It doesn't scare us believers. It steadies us. We should live differently because we know eternity is real. It's something that we're going to go to one day. We know that. We always should live with an eternity in view mindset. You know, I've preached, I got the opportunity in December to kind of go and speak at McKenzie First Baptist while the preacher was out. And every Sunday I would just steadily stay on an eternity in view. I just think that we as Christians, we kind of get lost into the mindset of knowing that we don't really look forward into the eternity. Like, we have an eternity ahead of us. We have an amazing place awaiting us. And I think sometimes we forget that. I forget that. I get so wound up and so busy with things in life, I forget that I have a mansion in heaven waiting for me. I have a place in heaven. Wait, I have a God that loves me, and I will get to meet one day and stand face to face. That should steady us. Every day, that should steady us. Paul again speaks on this in a couple instances in Hebrews 9, verse 27. It says, everyone will stand before God. It reinforces Peter's teaching on accountability. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. This is something that I also want to speak on as well, that Paul gives another great account on. Chapter 5, verse 10.
2 Corinthians.
It says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I want to kind of get that straight, start off real quick. That's not the great white throne judgment, not for lost people. This is for saved people, the judgment seat of Christ. Lost people will not be judged because they're already lost. What's to judge them for? This is for us, the judgment seat of the believers. It says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So there it is for Paul talking about good or bad. We will be judged. So therefore, you can either live your life knowing that you're going to be judged for good things. You've lived a godly life. You've done a lot of good things. Not meaning you don't sin, but you've done a lot of good things. But remember, you will also be judged by the bad things that happen in your life. Every sin, every mistake that you knew was wrong, but you did it anyway, it says you'll give an account for it. But we want to live a life that we can do goodly things every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, this also points out that it helps us see that our choices now that we make in life really matter. They matter. Every choice that we make. The application that we can take from that is, let's let the reality of eternity shape today's choices. Therefore, by that, if Jesus was coming in the next 2 hours, would you live your life differently than if you knew Jesus was coming back in 2 years? If we got the availability to know that Jesus was coming back as soon as we got out of this church, would you be just praying and just living the so in tune to my message and everything that you would be if Jesus was coming back in the next couple of years? Would you, if Jesus was coming back in the next couple of hours after church and you knew that, would you go out and just tell the whole world and go out and preach the gospel and proclaim His name? Would you also do the same thing if He was coming back in the next couple of years? Or would we just go home and kind of just do our own little thing? My meaning of that is every day we should live like Jesus is coming back soon. And we should let reality of eternity shape today's choices. Our choices need to be made like Jesus is coming back at the very next second, because the Bible says He can come back whenever He wants to. That moves into my fourth point. It says the gospel not only does those things, but it shapes our daily Christian living. We find that in verses 7 and 9. Peter says here in chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Again, there it is. The end of all things is at hand. We are at the end of the world. We are at a place where the world could end at any minute. And we all know that. It says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. I want to take a point on that. I know a couple people have heard me say this before in my sermons, but it's a very good point out at the end of verse 9 there on grudging. I heard this. So at Auburn, I go to Farmville Baptist Church up there on Wednesday nights, and we was doing a Bible study. And this guy kind of pointed out next to me, he says, "Holy," and it's stuck with me ever since then. And ever since I've read the Bible, I've seen the word grudge, grudge, grudge. It's like, man, it's always stuck by it. But he said that holding a grudge is like drinking poison, hoping it will kill the other person. And I kind of thought about that. I was like, man, that's because as me, like, man, if somebody does me wrong, the first thing I want to do is hold a grudge against them. You know, I'm like, man, they've done me wrong. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But really, in reality, God says we're killing ourselves when we do that. God says we forgive. He was talking to his disciples back in Matthew, and the disciples asked him, should we forgive this person 7 times? God says, no, we should forgive that person 70 times 70. And that's a lot. That's a lot of times, and that's crazy. But we should let the gospel shape our daily Christian living. Peter shifts from a big theology to everyday life. We should be self-controlled. We should be prayerful. We should stay spiritually awake instead of distracted. We should love deeply. Charity means love. It says charity among yourselves. Charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Jesus' love, dying on the cross for us, covered the multitude of our sins. Charity, love. Real love covers. It forgives. It bears within and seeks the good of others. We should show hospitality without complaining. I complain a lot. I do. There's some times where I just complain, man. And I'll touch a little more on that when we get into the sermon. That may touch a little more people, but it touches me too. But we should show hospitality without complaining. We should just love others and just not complain about it. They do us wrong. We're like, oh, gosh, I got to do something for them now. No, we should, like, you know what? I love them anyway. We should show hospitality. We should not complain. It says, use your home, your time, and resources to bless others with a joyful heart. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says the world knows that we belong to him by our love. The world sees our love. The world may look at us and see that, man, that person, you know, he's full of Jesus. He's full of love because just look at him. Kind of speaking on that is, you know, I just started a new internship at Wyatt Sasser Construction in Andalusia, and most of y'all may know that. And knowing people by love, seeing it, when it says here, Jesus says the world knows that we belong to him by our love. I got called out to a job site to go work with somebody, and you know, just being around him within 10 minutes, I just kind of had to ask him. I said, man, because we're in construction. I don't know if y'all are about construction, but there's not a lot of godly people in construction. Man, it is just cussing left and right. It's some frustrating things. And it's hard to say anything to them. Well, you can say anything, but then everything kind of just gets quiet and awkward because they know they don't want to hear anything. But being around this person for 10 minutes, I was like, man, are you a Christian? He's like, well, brother, I'm a preacher. And I was like, a preacher? He said, yeah. I'm like, you in construction? He said, yeah, man. He said, you gotta be out here and you gotta let other people see you. You know, you just gotta just. It's great to have a young person to connect. And we just connected, man. It's like the world knows we belong to him. By he showed me just a little bit of love. You know, I was like, man, like the world would know you. I think this. But what I mean by that is, you know, live your life in a godly way where people can see you and just say, man, you know what? That's a sheep among wolves. You know what I mean? That's just a godly person. And that's what I got by being around that person. And just the whole day, man, after that, I loved it. But God showed me, like, the whole day, it was just, God this. We trying to work. He's like, hey, man, let's just talk about God for a minute. Like, yeah, let's do it, you know? It was great. I loved it. But the world knows him by our love. Again, Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, do nothing from self-ambition. Consider others more important. It's perfect for Peter's lessons on love and hospitality. If you go with me real quick to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul again speaks on this. As you can tell, I just like a lot of Bible. I like showing y'all a lot of Bible, a lot of verses. That way y'all know where I'm coming from and how I got it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Says here, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but there it is right here, but by love and serve one another. We should love and serve one another. Even love and serve the people who've done you wrong. Yes, we should do that. This directly connects Peter's teachings on spiritual gifts. The question I have on this subject here is, which of these is the hardest for us today? Prayer, love, or hospitality? And me, for that, I think sometimes prayer can be hard, because sometimes we think about, man, it's like, it's hard to pray for those who've done you wrong. It's hard to pray for those who are just, you know, out to get you sometimes. It's hard to love those people who do you wrong. It's very hard. It's hard to show them hospitality. All three of these are very hard things for us to pursue. But this morning, God calls us to pray for those who accuse us, to love those who hurt us, and to show hospitality to those who may not show hospitality back to us. So the gospel shapes our daily Christian living. We're, again, to live our life every day with eternity in view and with love and charity. And number five, the gospel calls us to serve this morning. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, the last two verses here, it says, "Every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I'm going to stop right there real quick. It says, "Every man hath received the gift." Every person in this room has a gift of some sort in serving God. I pray you use that gift and use it to the right ability, and not be like the man that Jesus gave the parable about, where they gave all these talents and all these gifts out, and a few multiplied them. They'd done good stuff with them, but then one of them hid his talents, hid it, done away with it, and didn't do what God wanted to do. I pray this morning, all of you in here have a talent, some sort of gift that God has given you to be able to do, whether you're speaking, teaching, singing, whatever it is, praying, even just getting up here and taking the offering and walking it down. Whatever your gift may be, I pray you use that for God's goodwill. We'll continue there in verse 11. It says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, and to whom be praise and dominion forever." It says glorified through Jesus Christ. Again, glorified. Peter says that every believer has received a gift, not to keep, but to serve. Again, there's two types he kind of highlights here. He talks on speaking gifts, teaching, encouraging, sharing the truth. Speak as God himself was speaking through you. That's what we're called to do. Let God speak through you. Not only speaking gifts, but he speaks on serving gifts, whether that's helping, organizing, caring, giving, driving out to somebody's house and just caring, talking to them, whatever it may be. We must serve with the strength that God supplies in us, using all of these gifts for God's glory. That's what we need to do. Again, Paul talks on this, if you will, take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Paul again speaks on this. Chapter 12, 4 through 7, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts." Means all gifts are different. They're diversities. But they're all of the same Spirit. "And there were differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all of them." So no matter what gift God has given you, I pray you use it, because it's of God. It don't matter if you're serving or speaking. You should be happy because God's given you that gift to use, and we should use it. Different gifts, same Spirit, all for the given kingdom of God and common good. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 also speaks on this. It says, Paul here talks about, "Whatever you do, do it for the Lord and not of men." We should do everything, all these gifts, for the Lord, meaning like we should get up here and stand for the Lord. We should get up here and not only do, like, again, I'm going to get ahead of myself talking about false preaching and false teaching when I get to my sermon, but whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Don't get up here and do things for the men and for the be seen, but do it for the power of God, for the glory of God. That's, we do everything in the power of God. The key truth here is we don't serve for applause, but we serve so God is glorified. So God is glorified, and through us we reflect the spiritual nature of God. Everything circles back to the point that in everything in God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Again, right there what Peter says, may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Everything circles back to that. Everything points back to God's glory. Again, right there where I just was, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 also speaks on this. Paul says, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all in the glory of God." Meaning of that is, believe it or not, and I've had some struggle with this in my past, no matter if you got a bad boss or not, you got to go to work and do it for the glory of God. Because sometimes you can have people in your life you don't necessarily like working for, but you know what? We're supposed to work for the glory of God. And I've struggled with that a lot in my past as well, having some people that's been kind of tough. But again, do everything for the glory of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine so people see the good works and glorify your Father." Our lives become a testimony for everybody. In conclusion, we should again reflect the gospel every day. Because of Jesus, our mindset changes. Our lifestyle changes. Everything we do changes. Our purpose changes. The way we serve, we don't serve men, we serve God. The way we serve changes. We live in such a way that when people see our lives, they see the goodness of Christ every day. And I pray that we can do that. So this morning, a few questions I'd like to ask you is, where do I still live for my own desires instead of God's will? Where in your life are you still struggling in your own flesh, in your own self, that you need to put God's will in instead? How can you show deeper love to someone this week? Someone maybe has hurt you or has done you wrong. How can you show deeper love to someone who's just with you personally? Maybe a wife, maybe a spouse, husband, whatever, friend. What gift has God given you? And how are you using it for His glory? Do you have a gift you're not using? Do you have a gift of speaking? Do you have a gift of singing, but you're using it in the wrong place? You need to use it for God's glory. And my closing challenge I'd like to have this week before any decision or any conversation, pause and ask yourself, will this reflect the gospel? And will it bring God's glory? Because Jesus saved us and we leave the old life, we use our gifts, we love others deeply, and we live every day with an eternity mindset. So ultimately, in the end, that through all this, God may be glorified. Every day we should reflect the gospel. Our lives should be a reflecting, a mirror to God's own personal heart, where people can see us and want to grow and want to be just like Jesus. Again, I want to read that verse 11 real quick on my closing. Like again, Peter says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth." That God, again, God is used a lot. God. God first in everything. "That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you again for everything you've done. Lord, I thank you for your sovereign grace, your mercy. Lord, I thank you most importantly for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to die on that cruel cross of Calvary, Lord, to save our souls from the depths of hell. I thank you for the people you brought here this morning. Everybody's here, Lord, for a purpose. Lord, they showed up. They got out of bed this morning when they could have just stayed. It's a little chilly outside. They could have just stayed home. But, Lord, they came and they want to learn and worship you, Lord, and serve you. And I pray every day our lives can reflect you. We can be a light shining through you, Lord, that people may see the goodness and the glory of how great you truly are, Lord. I thank you again for all you're doing. I love you and praise you. I ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.